Chapter 9, Childhood, Abuse, and the Escape from Religion.
There is in every village a torch, the teacher, and an extinguisher, the clergyman. Victor Hugo.
I begin with an anecdote of 19th century Italy. I'm not implying that anything like this awful story could happen today. But the attitudes of mind that it betrays are lamentably current, even though the practical details are not. This 19th century human tragedy sheds a pitiless light on present-day religious attitudes to children. In 1858, Edgardo Mortara, a six-year-old child of Jewish parents living in Bologna, was legally seized by the papal police acting under orders from the Inquisition. Edgardo was forcibly dragged away from his weeping mother and distraught father to the Catechumens, house for the conversion of Jews and Muslims, in Rome, and thereafter brought up as a Roman Catholic. Aside from occasional brief visits under close priestly supervision, his parents never saw him again. The story is told by David I. Kurtzer in his remarkable book, The Kidnapping of Edgardo Mortara. Edgardo's story was by no means unusual in Italy at the time, and the reason for these priestly abductions was always the same. In every case, the child had been secretly baptized at some earlier date, usually by a Catholic nursemaid, and the Inquisition later came to hear of the baptism. It was a central part of the Roman Catholic belief system that once a child had been baptized, however informally and clandestinely, that child was irrevocably transformed into a Christian. In their mental world, to allow a Christian child to stay with his Jewish parents was not an option, and they maintained this bizarre and cruel stance steadfastly and with the utmost sincerity in the face of worldwide outrage. That widespread outrage, by the way, was dismissed by the Catholic newspaper Civiltà Cattolica as due to the international power of rich Jews. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Apart from the publicity it aroused, Edgardo Mortara's history was entirely typical of many others. He had once been looked after by Anna Morisi, an illiterate Catholic girl who was then 14. He fell ill, and she panicked lest he might die. Brought up in a stupor of belief that a child who died unbaptized would suffer forever in hell, she asked advice from a Catholic neighbour who told her how to do a baptism. She went back into the house, threw some water from a bucket on little Edgardo's head and said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." And that was it. From that moment on, Edgardo was legally a Christian. When the priests of the Inquisition learned of the incident years later, they acted promptly and decisively, giving no thought to the sorrowful consequences of their action.
Amazingly, for a rite that could have such monumental significance for a whole extended family, the Catholic Church allowed, and still allows, anybody to baptize anybody else. The baptizer doesn't have to be a priest. Neither the child nor the parents nor anybody else has to consent to the baptism. Nothing need be signed. Nothing need be officially witnessed. All that is necessary is a splash of water, a few words, a helpless child, and a superstitious and catechistically brainwashed babysitter. Actually, only the last of these is needed because, assuming the child is too young to be a witness, who is even to know? An American colleague who was brought up Catholic writes to me as follows.
We used to baptize our dolls. I don't remember any of us baptizing our little Protestant friends, but no doubt that has happened and happens today. We made little Catholics of our dolls, taking them to church, giving them Holy Communion, etc. We were brainwashed to be good Catholic mothers early on.
If 19th century girls were anything like my modern correspondent, it is surprising that cases like Edgardo Mortara's were not more common than they were. As it was, such stories were distressingly frequent in 19th century Italy, which leaves one asking the obvious question, why did the Jews of the Papal States employ Catholic servants at all, given the appalling risk that could flow from doing so? Why didn't they take good care to engage Jewish servants? The answer, yet again, has nothing to do with sense and everything to do with religion. The Jews needed servants whose religion didn't forbid them to work on the Sabbath. A Jewish maid could indeed be relied upon not to baptize your child into a spiritual orphanage,